Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, your dollar store hair gel with a lot of volume and a lot of shine of music, news, and criticism. I'm your host, John Caramonica.
I can't count the times I almost said what's on my mind, but I didn't. And just the other day, I wrote down all the things I'd say, but I couldn't. I just couldn't. In case you didn't know, baby, I'm crazy about you. And I would be lying if I said that I could live this life without you. Even though I don't tell you all the time, you had my heart a long, long time ago. In case you didn't know.
In case you didn't know, baby, I'm crazy about the country gentleman movement. It's a fact. The 2010s have been pretty wild for a lot of reasons.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of reasons. A lot of things happening. We're not going to get into all the things, but if you've been paying attention to country music in the last 5 to 7 years, you will have noticed two concurrent plagues. Mm-hmm. One is the dearth of young female country stars and continuous slots for older female country stars. Mm-hmm. And the second are the bros. Shouts to the bros. shouts to weathered baseball caps. Shouts to tattoos. Yeah, tattoos with ambiguous meanings. Mm-hmm. Shouts to all the
tighter pants than you'd expect.
Yeah. Shouts to shaking the hips side to side. You know, salute to that boy, Brantley Gilbert, Luke Bryan.
That boy.
Shouts to all of them. But their day is done. Hashtag not all men. The gentlemen are here. And if the gentlemen are here, you know Natalie Weiner's here.
Wow, what an intro.
Natalie is a staff writer at Bleacher Report. But more importantly, at least for these purposes, maybe not in life, but at least for these purposes, a music writer, former associate editor of Billboard, and a lapsed bassist.
That's me. That's a big list of the things that I do.
And an avid consumer of the Nashville product.
Yes.
A lot of product in Nashville.
There is so much
product. Not just hair product. A lot of other kind of product. So we are going to talk this week about the sort of waning years of the bro movement and the ascendant country gentleman moment, which I wrote about recently and which someone on Twitter said, oh, hey, it's just called country music.
Whoa. Boom.
Yeah. But like, it was more a shot at me than at the bros.
Yeah.
But like.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. But you're canceled. Whoever said that. They're canceled. So we opened up with Brett Young. And Brett Young is, I feel like maybe let's save our Brett Young conversation for a little bit later, because he's not sort of like patient zero here.
This is like getting really serious, really fast. Yes.
So let's table Brett Young for now. We're going to come back to him. Mm-hmm. But I did open with that because it's my favorite song of the current movement.
Yeah, and I'm into it too.
Let's talk about maybe the OG gentleman, which is to say 2 years older than Brett Young, or 3 years, or very few years older. And that would be Thomas Rhett. Thomas Rhett put out an album to very little acclaim in the early 2010s, and then put out another album in 2015. Mm-hmm. That album is called Tangled Up. And I had not listened to it since 2015. And when I was getting my research right for the story, I went back and listened to it. And I had forgotten how bro-y that album starts. And I wrote about this in the piece. There's a song where it's like, shake yourself, shake yourself.
He's pretty edgy. I don't know if you knew this. He's a wild man.
Ooh, my God. Literally an Ed Hardy t-shirt just went to heaven. So in the early part, and like literally the first sound you hear on the record is like a...
Yeah,
you know,
get
like,
it?
Like
he's
a preset,
in tune.
Yes,
with
a
pop
preset,
music.
A preset of a vinyl scratch. you know, like Casio 007A4 or something. But then when you get to the fourth song, which is called Die a Happy Man, for the first time, he sounds like he has a personality on the a genuine personality. And the song is also like uncomplicatedly beautiful. I remember when it came on the you look like you just smelled bad milk.
No, I mean like uncomplicated, yes, beautiful.
What? Okay.
I mean, I think it's like so corny. Like I just can't. It's like I can't handle it. It's like too much sugar.
You know what? It's Popcast. We're shucking the corn.
I know. And like people love it. You know, and people.
Let the people hear it.
Sounds good.
Let's listen to Die a Happy Man. And if you are not weeping by the end of this clip, like just click. Go listen to Chapo Trap House.
Okay, I will.
Baby, that red dress brings me to my knees. Oh, but that black dress makes it hard to breathe. You're a saint, you're a goddess, the cutest, the hottest masterpiece. It's too good to be true, nothing better than you in my wildest dreams. And I know that I can't ever tell you enough that all I need in this life is your crazy love. If I never get to see the northern lights, or if I never get to see the Eiffel Tower at night, or if all I got is your hand in my hand, baby, I could die the happy man, yeah. Drive a sports car up the coast of California.
So that's Die a Happy Man, an incredibly beautiful song.
Or just like the corniest thing that anyone has ever written in the history of music.
Totally fair. Could be. In a, you know, with like the wrong color glasses and the wrong kind of headphones.
Wow.
It could be. Whether you think it's corny or not, it was incredibly successful. Mm-hmm, and I remember, you know, we don't have country radio in New York apart from Nash FM. Mm-hmm. But I remember very distinctly late 2015 into 2016 – Shazamming this song a bunch because there's no other way that I would hear it except on the record. And I kept thinking, like, what is this song that's like incredibly dignified and refined and like almost elegant, especially in the middle of all this other stuff? Because when you heard it come on, it was literally like someone had just like flipped the turntable, like, you know, put the needle from one turntable to a different turntable. And I was very struck by it. But you think it's corny?
I do.
Talk to me about that.
I just find it like it's so on the nose, you know what I mean? And like that kind of like I understand why people like it. You know, it really hits all the notes for that kind of thing. You're like, I want a romantic song to sing with my significant other or whatever and like slow dance to or whatever. Like that's cool, but it's I don't know.
So you never banged with it. You never banged with it. Okay.
I mean, like, it was obviously huge, and so being at Billboard, we had to pay a lot of attention to it. We did our Thomas Rhett story and all about how he wrote it about his wife, and it was so perfect, and they were married when they were 22, and he's only my age. Like, he's, like, 6 months older than me, which is crazy, and he has, like, his two babies and
yes.
all this stuff. But I agree that it was like a shift mm-hmm. in the music, like this kind of very stripped down ballad that kind of like really is more a pop song than even a country song. Like it's totally just like fair. A really successful pop 100%. Song. And so I think that, you know, that did signal like people are ready to hear more pop in their country music. Like that's what, and we saw that with Sam Hunt, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of like, that's my personal.
We haven't even been talking for 5 minutes, isn't it? We're already on Sam Hunt.
I know. Well, you know what? We have to be. We have to be, right? No, but this is my take on your piece, which I agree with. And I think like this is definitely a sea change in Nashville, but I do think it is a reaction to Sam Hunt. Like that's what I think. Because he was like, I am a different model of country man. Yeah. And so all the country men were like, we see this. And like, they're like, oh, gosh, I can't just be like Luke Bryan knockoff anymore. Like,
right.
Sam Hunt is the guy who's successful.
And
so
he's also
one.
Very, very good.
Yes.
Like the thing that, and again, I think it's interesting. We can jump right into the Sam Hunt stuff, which I didn't really get into the piece too much. But Sam Hunt sort of emerged 3 years ago kind of as the 2.0 of the bro movement. With emotional sensitivity, strong songwriting. He's also a songwriter in addition to performer. Genuine affinity for hip-hop as opposed to kind of kitschy affinity for hip-hop. So he sort of took all the gestural moves of the 2000s, the 2010 to 2014 stuff, but actually like embodied it in a much more true and felt way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right, which is to say after that, unless you find another Sam Hunt who's that good.
Yeah.
Unless you find that person, you have to walk in another direction.
And I think like for me, I went back and I was sort of looking at what the biggest country songs of the last few years were, like from 2014, 2015, 2016. And 2014 was This Is How We Roll, Florida Georgia Line. So yeah, classic FGL, Luke Bryan collab,
Woo!
Nothing but the hits.
Yeah.
Bangers.
Yes.
And also, Florida Georgia Line had the number three biggest song of that year, too.
That's like the Young Money record of country. That's like the bedrock of country.
Yeah. It is that. And then Jason Aldean was number two. So it was like they had the top three. It was like, we are the bros.
Yeah, sure.
This is 2014. Maybe like the kind of, this was when it was saturation.
Yes.
Total bros. In 2015, we see the top country song is Take Your Time. And that's like, you know, that's such a change.
Yes.
I don't know if you're looking at me or not. You probably smile like that all the time. I don't mean to bother you, but I couldn't just walk by and not say hi. And I know your name, because everybody in here knows your name. You're not looking for anything right now. So I don't want to come on strong. Don't get me wrong, your eyes are so intimidating. My heart is pounding, but it's just a conversation. No, girl, I'm not a wasted. You don't know me, I don't know you, but I want to. And I don't want to steal your freedom. I don't want to change your mind. I don't have to make you love me. I just want to take your time. I don't wanna wreck your Friday. I ain't gonna waste my life. I don't have to take your heart. I just wanna take your time. And I know it starts with hello, and the next thing you know, you try to be nice, and some guy's getting too close, trying to pick you up, trying to get you to run. And I'm sure one of your friends is about to come over here, cause she's supposed to save you from random guys that talk too much and wanna stay too long. It's the same old song and dance, but I think you know it well. You could've rolled your ass, told me to go to hell. Could've walked away, but you're still here. And I'm still here. Come on, let's see where it goes. I don't wanna steal your freedom. Change your mind. I don't have to make you love me. I just want to take your time.
For me, if we're talking about like being a gentleman and the shift from being like, look at her long tan legs and the short shorts or whatever, you know, to Sam Hunt being like,
flip flops, hip hop.
Right. Exactly. That was me. That was Boris. You were just like off the top of your head.
Just straight off the dome. And no, that wasn't just me playing a Florida Georgia Line record. That was me. That was just me doing it.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, so you never could go either way. To be honest, Pedro could probably find a snippet of an actual Florida Georgia Line song that sounds
where
just
they're
like
saying
that.
Yeah. But yeah, so on Take Your Time, he's like, I don't want to steal your freedom. I don't want to change your mind.
Oh my God. Like, what? Is it the is it the New York Nashville Poets Cafe in here? Is that what's happening? You're reading sensitive Sam Hunt lyrics?
That's like hella respectful. Like, thank you, Sam Hunt.
I don't want to take your freedom. I don't want to take your time.
But you see what I'm saying, right? This is like for country radio to embrace it in such an intense way. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's a song about hollering at a girl, but he's just like, I just want to do it in the nicest way I can.
Absolutely.
And that's like about as woke as country gets as far as gender.
Of course. And certainly in this decade.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, and I was thinking about earlier parallels to this, and I think I mentioned Earl Thomas Conley in the piece, and it was interesting, you know, Don Williams recently passed, and it's not that these songs have never been in vogue.
Right.
You know, they were in vogue in the 60s. They were in vogue in the 70s. Certainly, Countrypolitan Records is a bunch of stuff like this. But, I mean, honestly, post-peak George Strait.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody has really made this their kind of like bailiwick.
Like romantic ballads.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And I thought the way that you position it in your piece as a reaction to bro country, like people trying to be more sensitive. I mean, I think that was a lot of Sam, you know, but he's obviously a product of an environment, and everybody was kind of probably coming to similar conclusions at the same time. Like, I think Old Dominion is kind of an interesting example of that, because they were songwriters, and then they came through with these kind of, like, fun and flirty, but not overtly, like, party down, let's get crazy records, you know? And so it's just sort of this shift, and now we're seeing, like you're talking about, with Die a Happy Man, just, like, these schlocky, like love
songs. And there are like a lot of them. And I think what I was really struck by and why I sort of made the Not All Men reference is, look, if you're going to fix gender imbalance in country, and I mean that in terms of participation, but also in terms of subject matter and thematic power, who has power to create themes and you have to have a lot of people on board, right? You have to have songwriters on board. You got to get labels on board, artists. You have to have all these people on board. This feels like the cheapest possible solution to the problem, which is like we still have guys. They're still like handsome or handsome-ish mid-20s to mid-30s white guys, maybe with a beard. They're just nicer.
Yeah.
It's like the easiest fix to the problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the most dispiriting thing, because I remember part of like – as I was hearing these records over the last, say, like 6 to 12 months on the radio or like watching the videos on YouTube, as I was hearing them, I just kept almost mistaking them for each other. Like I couldn't,
which
one is Chris Lane and which one is Michael Ray? And
they all,
and it's just, and I, you know, look, I know how Nashville works and how record labels work. And like, you know, someone like Chris Lane has been in the system for a really long time and probably tried three different approaches and now is finally, but that's a bummer. That just, it bums me out. Even if I like a lot of these records, the kind of cynicism behind them is frustrating to me.
Yeah. And I think even like, even though conformity is kind of Nashville's like thing, you know, that's like, that's how country radio always is. It's like things kind of all sound the same for a while. But the sort of aesthetic blandness of this, even away from the topical stuff. Like,
the arrangements.
Yeah, it's just like, it's so like, like, it's just sort of like, we picked the simplest way to do this and we're going to do it and not take any risks. And that's kind of like, I mean, I know we're going to come back to Brett Young, but I feel like his stuff is like, at least has a little bit of like a spark to it or something, you know, and I think that's partially because his voice isn't quite so glossy.
I also think he is a conceptual native in this space.
Fancy words. I hope they use that as a pull quote on the album. They're like,
a conceptual
Brett Young, a conceptual native in this space.
Sorry, guys. But I do think that, like, of all the people, and we can come back to Brett Young, because I feel like the Thomas Rhett thing, even though there's a bunch of stuff on the new Thomas Rhett record that kind of fits into this, also like the Maren Morris thing is like half there, half not there. You know, they're trying to turn him into something that's like maybe not who he naturally is, but like, you know, they tried to do it before with the Southside records and whatnot. But I don't, you know, we can come back to Rhett. But Brett Young, so let's maybe play another Brett Young. Let's just play all the Brett Young songs. Let's play all the Brett Young songs. Let's play You Ain't Here to Kiss Me.
Sure.
Five dollar drink and a lonely window seat. Half empty plane on New Year's Eve. Lovebirds in a row in front of me are driving me crazy. The pilot comes on, says the year is almost gone. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Looks like it's just me and the whiskey. Cause you ain't here to kiss me. You ain't here to kiss me. Raise a toast to the thought of you and me. This was just the way it had to be. 90 proof to give me clarity. The flight attendant must know that something's going on. Can't hide the look of love gone wrong. So she's pouring them a little strong. $5 drink in a lonely window seat. Heavy, heavy plane on New Year's Eve. The birds in the row.
So Brett Young got bangers. deep emotional.
This is actually a Brett Young fan show.
Yeah, seriously, deep emotional bangers. As I was joking before we started recording, all that pumps in my car is Bodak Yellow, and in case you didn't know.
peak. Hashtag
yes,
peak.
That's true. I can only be me. But Brett Young has a number of songs that, to me, like, I think when I was trying to distill down what the archetype was, it was, I'm a guy who's very nice and is trying to convince you I'm very nice, or I'm a guy who doesn't deserve you and like you have left me and like I'm okay with that because I know I'm just a,
yeah.
And he has good songs on both sides. Yeah. He has good songs about both. This song we just played being on the latter side. I think you're right. His voice is interesting, but he reminds me a lot of sort of soft rocks or soft soul singers of the early 80s. Like he is not, he may have like some deep bluegrass demos I don't know about. You know, it's possible.
I feel like he's from California, maybe. Probably. Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I just remember some kind
that of
California
plausible. Connection.
That
seems plausible. I don't
even
want to fact check that. Like, that just seems plausible. Out of everybody who I wrote about, he's the most comfortable doing this.
Yeah.
And he writes also, I think.
Yeah, he wrote all the songs. I double checked. He wrote all the songs on his records. Like, to me, that's one of the things that makes Nashville special is, I mean, the really famous people don't write their own songs.
Right.
Yes. But, like, part of getting your bona fides in Nashville is writing your songs.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that separates some of these guys from the pack. Chris Lane doesn't write. Ryan Felice, I don't know what his deal is, but he was in a rock band before. So it's like they're kind of like dipping their toes in the water in this very like pop kind of cliche way. And it doesn't necessarily feels maybe a little disingenuous, but obviously authenticity is a hard thing to measure in commercial radio, but.
Do you feel like these same songs could be effective with more obviously country arrangements, or is the neutrality of them somehow integral to their success? The fact that they don't code as country, and if because they don't code as country, the expectation set is different.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I would be interested to know also if any of them have gotten crossover, like Adult AC, you know, like play there. I didn't look into it at all, but I mean, I think with Die a Happy Man, at least, that definitely happened. And then with some of these other guys who are singing without a twang, really, or like, you know, maybe
like one banjo.
But
like Carrie Underwood gets crossover play. You know, like that's...
It's like, it's pretty normal if you're not like John Party,
right.
You know?
Or a hat guy. Not that there are any hat guys left, except William Michael Morgan. Shouts to William Michael Morgan.
And his Cyrano, Sam Hunt.
Yes. Let's just play. Let's play on what the hell? Let's play I Met a Girl by William Michael Morgan.
She
She don't laugh at everything, but when she does, the planets swing around her. She don't step on sidewalk scenes. Her teenage boyfriends all still dream about her. She don't need the glitter of the Vegas lights. She could blow a kiss and leave you spinning like a tilt-a-whirl. I met a girl, she made me smile, she made me wait. She crossed the street, she crossed my heart. She fixed her dress, she bit her lip, she lit me up. I met a girl with crazy shoes and baby blues. The way she moves is changing my whole world. I met a girl.
True story, I was on a plane and the guy next to me was like getting more and more drunk. It was like a flight where you could, it was long enough that
they gave you alcohol.
And also like you could see the increasing drunkenness. Like it wasn't just like a 45 minute flight. It must have been from Texas or from California. And when he found out what I did for a living, he was like, oh, he's like, I just want that George Strait. I just want that George Strait.
Okay.
Who's George Strait? And the William Michael Morgan record had come out a couple months earlier. And I was like, William Michael Morgan. And I put my headphones back in. I was like, come on, man. Don't do this to me. But anyway, if that guy's listening,
yeah,
I hope you enjoyed it.
I
Met a Girl is that the album. Yeah.
It's a great song.
Great song. The album's pretty good, too. The rest of the album's pretty good, too. But this is a particularly good song.
But yeah. No, I mean, he's like very much like got the voice and the look and the thing. Yeah, he's making it work. Yeah, he's definitely doing it all.
And he's a guy who I think, in the same way that like Brett Young feels very natural in the space, like I think William Michael Morgan, the courtliness of his singing, the kind of very like, it's not plaintive. It's very, I mean, it's like maybe faintly plaintive, but it's like very well structured. His presentation is obviously like very
in the box,
vertical and horizontal. You know, it's like there's no curves, there's no angles to it. It's just, they're only right angles and straight lines.
Yeah.
So this is it's a good moment for a guy like him.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, we've mentioned Chris Lane a couple times, and you end up with a guy like who,
Chris Lane.
So when I was looking around, Chris Lane used to be in a band, I think, the Chris Lane band that was like rowdier.
Yeah,
and
they just
kind
of like opened for people.
But it was like more Southern Rocky kind
probably.
Of. So Chris Lane, who I think has had this style thrust upon him slightly, has a song. It's
a little bit of an industry plant.
Shouts to industry plants, even in Nashville. Well, actually, mostly in Nashville.
Yeah.
who has a track called For Her, which is, go on, tell them how
like,
you feel.
It's like, I mean, it's definitely in the Die a Happy Man mold in the sense that it's like, here are a list of traits of the woman I love listed in a very corny way. Most of the things that she does well are make me happy. And I will like elucidate the various ways in which she does this.
All right. Let's listen. Let's listen to this reductive approach to appreciating women For Her by Chris Lane.
She got a smile that makes your worst day feel like it's your birthday. She's got a laugh like confetti. Would change her name if she let me. She's got a way of changing the game. The way that you play is never the same.
She's the kind that makes you want
to ride around, windows down. Like a soft glow, flicker of a candle. She turns my cool into disaster. Heart is pumping faster. She's head to toe, body and soul.
Okay, so listening to this song, I think bears the question, how is this actually different than flip-flops, hip-hop, long legs?
Right, right.
How is it different? Now, it doesn't fetishize a woman's appearance in a kind of, like, sexual way.
Yeah.
But is it actually more substantive?
No. I mean...
Damn, I just shouldn't have written this piece.
No. I mean, I'm glad we came around to that because... That's one of the things that bothers me about some of these songs. Not all of them.
Yeah.
Some of them, it's like, it's this really thin line. Obviously, they're super heteronormative. This is Nashville. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. the woman is pretty. She's wearing a pretty dress. She has blonde hair. She's perfect. She fixes him and all the things that he does wrong. You know, it's like this very, like, angelic person descending from the heavens. And there's also... I think in some of them, a hint of this, like, you're not like other girls.
Right.
The other girls are bad. You're good.
Yeah.
Which is a trope in R&B and hip hop, too.
Of course.
It's like, you know, you're not like the rest. You're the woman who's changed me.
Right. It's reductive. It's just a different kind of reductive.
Yes. And it's like, it's changing the objectification from like, hey, to like, you are my possession. You know, like.
But is this not. The logical, like, and when I say logical, I don't mean right, but I mean almost like if a robot was executing Nashville, like if a robot was like behind the scenes, is this not the logical response to country radio listenership being heavily female, heteronormative, et cetera, et cetera? Should country music basically only be gentlemen given that?
No.
Not to get, this is, I'm issuing this as a provocation.
Yeah. No, don't tomato me.
This
I'm
is
not tomatoing you.
Not you. I'm talking about the world. This is just as a, just a question.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, we have to interrogate it because there aren't enough people who will. And I know that you sent me a blog post from savingcountrymusic.com, storied website, about Body Like a Back Road, which is obviously not in the vein of this gentleman country movement, but it is the hit of the summer.
Yes.
It is Sam Hunt.
31 weeks and, atop the Billboard Hot Country
Chart. And it's also, like, to me, nauseating because I'm just like, Sam, I know you can do way better than this. And, it, like, yeah, it's a good pop song, sure, but it's not good enough to justify how, like, lecherous
can
it is.
I, but can I just say that at the recent 15 and a 30 tour at Madison Square Garden, you did not appear to be having a terrible time during the performance of that
but
song.
I was embracing the moment. I mean, like, but I don't like the song. It's just like, ugh, it's just eye roll to me, you know? And it's like, and I know this is country, but it's like, just there aren't that many people interrogating this aspect of country music because it's like, it's so subtle and it's like an aspect of sort of, if you're progressing along the lines of like understanding gender dynamics as constructed, like most people in Nashville aren't quite there. But it's like, I was listening to that Blake Shelton song that you cited, the All Name the Dogs one.
Oh my gosh.
And that's like very peak, like.
Oh yeah.
This is you and this is me. This is what the woman does and this is what the man does.
Let's,
you know.
All right, let's listen. First of all, we're going to do a back-to-back now. We're going to listen to I'll Name the Dogs and then we're going to listen to Boys Around Here, which is Blake Shelton 4 years ago. just to clarify kind of like how radically different the moments are.
It's high time, I tell you, no more messing around. Time to lay these cards on the table and just throw it on out. I'm talking you and me with the same street name, same last name, same everything. It's a real thing, a how-feel thing. So I'ma go on and take a swing. You find the spot and I'll find the money. You be the pretty and I'll be the funny. You plant the flowers, I'll plant the kisses. Baby, let's get right down to business. I'll hang the pictures, you hang the stars. You pick the pain, I'll pick a guitar. Sang you a song out there with the crickets and the frogs. You name the babies and I name the dogs. Yeah, I name the dogs. You name the babies.
redneck. Well, the boys around here don't listen to the Beatles run. Old Bo Cephas threw a jukebox needle at the honky-tonk where their boots stomp all night. What?
That's right.
Yeah, and walk to call work, digging in the dirt. Gotta get it in the ground before the rain come down, to get paid, to get the girl in your four-wheel drive. Yeah, the boys around here drinking that ice-cold beer, talking about girls, talking about trucks, running them red dirt roads out, kicking up dust. The boys around here sending up a prayer to the man upstairs. Backwoods legit, don't take no lip. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco spit. Aw, heck.
In my firm belief, Blake Shelton is neither of those singers. Like in his true,
yeah,
true inner gift, he's neither of those singers. He's not a guy who raps,
yeah,
and he's not a basically like a boring house husband
like,
type.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
like no, I think he's like, I don't know. He's kind of angsty. I feel like in his heart, Blake, yeah, Shelton wants to do like emo, sad country songs, yeah, in kind of the classic vein.
Angsty jerk, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah,
angsty jerk. I'm not going to say the other thing because we're this is the New York Times. But yeah, no, I mean, I just like listening to the song and he's like, you be the pretty and I'll be the funny. And I was just like, oh, my God,
yarf.
Blake, you're killing me. And like, I'm like, this is why Miranda left you. But
oh, if there was tea here, I would sip it.
But, you know, it's just. I think that's a perfect example of how not nuanced this understanding of like male-female relationships is, mm-hmm, and how it's really just relying on these outdated cliches, obviously. But the thing that gets to me is that I think there are songs in country today that don't do that,
mm-hmm,
you know?
To speak
most
on
of Sam Hunt, you know, yes, Chris Stapleton, you know.
I happily mean, married to another fantastic,
right,
singer-songwriter.
And, Warren, like, you know, looking at, like, Maren Morris and, like, you know, her fiancé, Ryan Hurd. Like, I think, like, they're all kind of – it's a more two-sided approach. Because, like, mm-hmm, country is about love songs, sure, obviously.
Sure.
Like, I'm with it. I'm into it. That's what I love about it. But it's, like, having both sides of the conversation represented instead of just, like – I'm the man and you're the woman and this,
right,
is how I look at you.
And all of the performers and songs that you just mentioned are moderately hits, moderately successful.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not unsuccessful. They're just not as successful,
yeah,
as a lot of these narratives. When I was going through the charts, I was actually surprised at how high a lot of the old mode, old guard was still charting.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I talked about Blake Shelton in the piece is I think Blake Shelton may not naturally be either of these things in these last two movements, but he is an incredibly effective picker of songs.
Mm-hmm.
I think he really knows what he sounds good on.
Yeah.
And that's its own gift. And the idea that 4 years ago he could think, I'm going to sound good on this rap song, and today he's going to be like, I'm going to have this completely like intellectually neutered, wah, 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 romantic,
yeah,
song. Like he just knows. He knows what's right for the moment.
Yeah.
But go listen to Old Red. That's like OG Blake,
yeah,
Shelton. Go listen to that.
Okay, I will. No, that taps into another thing that also irks me about many of these songs, and that I think Brett Young escapes.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, I'm still going to vouch for Want to Be That Song by Brett Eldredge.
Oh, my God. I really want to get through this podcast without saying those words.
Oh, my
but
God.
Fine.
I did, but you brought him up in your piece.
Oh, I know.
Anyway, I think that a lot of the songwriting is really uninspired, and that makes me sad because the reason I listen to Nashville songs is because they're so vivid and they use these great metaphors and, like, the narratives are really compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of these songs are just like, you're so pretty and you're so great and, like, whatever, whatever. And it's just, like, not even said in an original way.
Right.
You know?
I'm not going to play Wanna Be That Song,
mm-hmm,
because I'm just not going to.
Okay, don't do it.
Just not.
People will go listen to it, and they'll see that it's a good song. I'm not, like,
going to control what they play on Spotify.
I don't go, like, I'm not like, oh, man, let me listen to some Brett Eldredge. But when I hear it, I'm like,
a little smooth Brett Eldredge in the whip, you know? You
I
know?
Don't have a car.
Like, Of course, because
you're
the
one with a car.
If you play, it's a known rule that if you play Brett Eldridge in your car, it gets repossessed. That's just a known fact.
Well, I actually just rented a car for the last 2 days, and I didn't play any Brett Eldridge. So.
Well, that's why you're here. But with that in mind, as far as songwriting, there was one song that I wrote about that is like, to me, was the best written version of the cliche song of the I'm this, you're that, I'm da-da-da, which was Adam Craig.
Yeah.
Who did that song, a song called Just a Phase, which I don't know very much about Adam Craig. I didn't know anything about him prior to this song. This is off an EP that came out maybe late last year, top of this year. He seems maybe a little bit older, maybe in his mid to late 30s. I don't know. Don't at me if I have the age wrong.
Well, that's another sidebar. At Billboard, I discovered that, like, there is very much currency in country men being young. And so to the extent that we were interviewing one guy, one who fits in this category, and they wouldn't tell me his age. Like, I was like, I called to fact check and I was like, look, like, I need his age for, because we're running this Q&A.
Yeah, of course.
And they were like, can we just say 30s? And I was like,
you want to blow up who it is?
I don't actually. I would say, but I'm not 100%. There are like three options.
Also, a cool journalism tip for dealing with publicists that I've had in the past, which I was like, we can always search voting records. We can there's like other ways that we can find the age. So like,
interesting.
I was like, we can do this the easy way,
or we can do this the hard way.
Like, I'm flexible. Like, I got time. So just, you know, for future reference,
that is a good tip.
For all among us, all everyone listening, like, just let them know. Let them know there's public records out there. Just, you know. And not every state is thorough. Just for the side, you know, not every state is thorough. But, like, for some states, you can do wonders.
Hmm.
Ray Schremmert. So
where were we going with this? Know.
Well, let's play the Adam Craig.
Oh, yeah, Adam Craig.
So let's listen to that Adam Craig song, which is called Just a Phase.
I'm a blackjack label, you're a classic glass of red. So girl, what you doing here tonight, messing up my bed? You don't really love me, you just think that you do. I'm just a phase you're going through. Someday, soon, baby, you're gonna wake up and see there ain't ever gonna be a forever for you and me. Someday, soon, baby, you're gonna look back and smile that you got hooked on a guy like me for a little while. 'Cause I'm a Friday night, you're a Sunday afternoon. I'm a reckless rock and roll, and you're a last slow dance to a midnight tune. Deep in your heart, I know you know I ain't right for you. I'm just a phase you're going through.
So part of the reason I like this song is, number one, it was a notch sadder than these other songs. It wasn't just a plain, I love you, you're amazing. Mm-hmm. It was, you're amazing, and I'm a dog, I'm a wastoid, and, like, I can't imagine why someone like you is with me. So it sort of shifts the narrative a little bit, so it has a little bit of emotional complexity to it. And also, I think the songwriting is, like, a little bit more complicated and interesting.
I mean, I'm always a sucker for the country songs that take, like, a cliche, like a phrase, like, just a phase and like turn it into a thing, because that's like one of my favorite things that actually that's my secret corny side. I'm allowed to say Die a Happy Man is corny because that was a corny song, but I do like some corny songs.
There's no judgment. This is a judgment-free zone. Mm-hmm. This is a safe space.
You just said like that if I had listened to Brett Eldridge in a car, it would get repossessed.
This is a safe space for everyone except Brett Eldridge and Billy Currington. But other than,
I was actually going to bring up Billy Currington.
Oh my God.
Not because I like him, but anyway, Adam Craig.
Billy Currington.
No, it's fine. Because
it's fine.
I found that song, for me, I like the song. I agree it's well written. The things in that tone, I feel like can be borderline patronizing if they are not executed correctly.
In the tone of
like, you're great, you're but I'm just not good for you. You know, because it's like you're assuming that you know what's best for said woman.
Right.
I think is kind of towed the line in a good way. But it's another tone, like sort of theme that pops up in these country songs. Like, you just don't know what's best for you, but I know because I'm the man. Billy Currington, Do I Make You Wanna, that's a song that's successful right now. It is on the charts.
Yeah.
It is big. And he's obviously like king of the bros, right? You know.
I don't perceive him that way. Do
no?
you? Oh, I don't perceive him that way at all. Oh, that's interesting. He always seemed a little bit too gentle for that space.
So maybe he's the originator. He might want to talk to him about him.
This is a Billy Currington free zone.
Okay, fine. Well, I don't know. It just seemed like it was kind of fitting in the same mold of what you were talking about with a more gentle, like, love song.
I think he is always, he's actually kind of always low-key been like that.
Well, there you go.
He was, I always thought that he was too gentle for the world in, like, 2012 or 2011 or whatever, honestly.
And yet here he still is, making gentle hits. I
have a Billy Currington blocked on my tweet deck.
Okay, well.
You know, it's muted.
I'm sorry. But I also have to talk about Florida Georgia Line because I know you don't agree with my take on this. Oh, this was interesting to me. The top three biggest songs, country songs of last year were Holy, Die a Happy Man, and Humble and Kind. And I was like, Tim sneaking in there with the
low key gentleman vibes. Crypto Christian gentleman.
Yes. They're all Christian gentlemen. What are you talking about?
Fair point.
But yeah.
Yes, Tim. OG. Yes.
So
for
it's
sure.
like those three songs together. Whoa.
Yes.
Like,
and Holy, for those who don't know, that's a late period Florida Georgia Line song that is not very bro-y.
I told you. I thought it fit in with your thesis because it's like
over. Want to listen to it?
Yeah.
Let's listen to Holy by Florida Georgia Line.
When the sun had left and the winter came and the sky fall to only bring the rain, I sat in darkness. All brokenhearted, I couldn't find a day. I didn't feel alone. I never meant to cry. Started losing hope, but somehow, baby, you broke through and saved me. You're an angel. Tell me you're never leaving, 'cause you're the first thing I know I can believe in. You're whole.
Holy, I mean, to me, it was a striking shift for them in general. And they made a pretty concerted effort to be like, this is a different album for us because they know what they're known for.
We only have three wallet chains now, not four.
There's a picture of me with Florida Georgia Line that exists on the internet. I'm just going to
put
that out
there. Did you just magically get a wallet chain?
No.
Like, you just showed up. Like, you're like, I know you have a wallet.
Sadly, no.
That would have been good merch for them.
It would have been. There. But instead, they had these tank tops that were, like, Justin Bieber-style design that said, like, holy, like, you know, vertically, like, all edgy, quote-unquote. Anyway.
Facescrunch.gif.
But basically, they were like, we're married now. We're mellow. This is our mellow album about our families. But Holy is, I mean, it's like, you know, unrelenting love song, which is like in, you know, high on loving you. Like, it's like, it's not quite as deferential as the rest of these, but I think it's sort of in the same vein. And also God, Your Mama and Me, which is a duet with the Backstreet Boys.
Yes. True.
And that, I thought, kind of tied into this idea that this is really a combination of pop and country in a way that, you know, is much more crossover oriented than
stuff
that
we've
like,
seen. Yes, and Backstreet Boys could not have found a way into country 5 years ago.
Yeah.
NSYNC, maybe.
Wow. I didn't know I was coming here for Backstreet Boys slander. Look, my 9-year-old self is very angry right now.
That's good. I feel like you have done them proud by aligning them with this powerful national movement.
It's all a part of this. It's just like, I'm with you forever. You're the best. You're like, you know.
I don't even consider what I said slander, to be honest.
Facts. What I was saying is just that it's connected to this whole idea and that those were the three biggest songs. That, to me, I think supports your thesis more than anything because it's just like, look at these quiet, nice songs. These aren't like party anthems.
Right. So you're basically saying that you could have solved in a tweet what took me 2 weeks to write. Cool. No, okay,
I'm
cool.
Just
all good.
The numbers support your thesis.
Okay. Okay. So before we bring our conversation to a close, I feel like one of the problems with having a conversation like this is like, much like Country's Gentlemen, we are talking about women, but we are not really talking about women. We're talking about images of women or perceptions of women as reflected through men. Often unimaginative men.
Yes.
So I thought maybe a thing we should do is each of us can talk about a singer, a female singer, or a song by a female singer that's recent that we think is interesting or pushing a boundary or just not this.
Yeah.
No. So, like, do you want to kick us off?
Sure.
Okay.
When I was sort of reviewing the charts to... Mm-hmm. To prepare for this because, you know,
Natalie Young Data Weiner.
Shut up. I mean, you know, I'm not as on top of the country charts as I was maybe in my Billboard days, mm-hmm. but catching up, Carly Pierce is definitely a name I've seen around.
Sure.
And now her song, Every Little Thing, is like number 10 at country radio, which for a woman who's like not a known quantity, really, like that's a big thing. And it's a slower song. It's not kind of like up-tempo, like, happy pop song. You know, it's like Kelsea Ballerini broke out, but it's like she had these very appealing, very like catchy songs, you know? And this is like more of a ballad. It's a little sad, like, and she's still kind of making it on radio. And that's the hard place for women in country to break through. It's not really in sales. It's not in streaming. Right. It's on radio.
Right.
That's
and
where
this
the
is,
barrier is.
And this came up when I was looking at chart positions for a bunch of these songs.
Mm-hmm.
Almost invariably, they charted higher on country airplay than they did on hot country songs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. And I mean, but still, you'll notice that all the ones that I was citing as like the biggest country songs of the year, that was all metrics. And there were still no women except for Little Big Town.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, so let's listen to this Carly Pierce song. Let's listen to Every Little Thing.
Every little thing, I remember every little thing, the high, the hurt, the shine, the sting, every little thing. I remember every little thing, the high, the hurt, the shine, the sting, every little thing. To not remember every little thing, I remember every little thing, the high, the hurt, the shine, the sting, every little thing, I remember every little thing, I'm haunted by the memories of every little thing, the high, the hurt, the shine, the sting.
I don't know if it's like a function of the industry realizing that they have to push some women through because Nashville really is a machine and like mm-hmm. nothing happens on accident, especially on radio.
Right.
Like they're like, this is the song we're going to make happen.
Yes.
And it's going to happen.
Shouts to all my Milwaukee country radio programmers, all my Omaha country radio programmers. Just want you to know we see you. We see what you're doing.
Definitely. I don't know you, but I want to know you because that sounds cool.
Yeah, seriously. My future job. WQRX.
Oh, my God. He's just like loud. I want you to know that John just has his feet up on the table right now. He's fantasizing about his country radio DJ future.
Wearing Bally and Fila. Let's go. Let's go.
Omaha never saw it coming.
That's right. You ain't seen it coming.
But yeah, I mean, I just think it's like, keep an eye out for her. And it's, I haven't seen a lot of buzz. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the, like, there will be like one country woman a year who gets like crossover pop music attention. It was like Maren Morris last year, Kacey Musgraves the year before, you know, but there are a lot of other women making country music and like good country music.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, and Miranda kind of got some shine last year too, obviously, but she's
been doing it. Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's just good to kind of like see what's out there, and maybe the people who aren't necessarily getting fader covers or whatever are still worth paying attention to. That wasn't a shot.
I don't know. I see a hole in the wall behind me. You tell me. Okay, so to your point about women making country music that's just not getting attention, you know, I think about like Mickey Guyton, who like had a couple of great songs, and I really don't know what's happening with Mickey Guyton.
She was supposed to have an album. What happened? Where is it?
Someone call us, email us, let us know about that. You know, I'm a fan of Bailey Bryan, who's like a young teen pop country. I hope nobody screws that up. I think she could be really...
So Tara Thompson. Wasn't there supposed to be an album coming from her at some point? I like her.
We're going to make a list.
Yeah. Probably what happened is she dropped an album and I didn't know about it. Now I'm going to sound dumb.
We'll Google it and we'll cut it if it's not there. But I want to talk about a song that I kind of stumbled onto on YouTube and I wrote about a few weeks ago in our playlist column, which is a song called A Little Dive Bar in Dahlonega, and the singer is Ashley McBride. Let's listen to a little bit of it now.
To the backpacked first love leaver, the heart cracked double down dreamer, the homesick for grass that's greener and a slice of mama's peach pie. To the flat broke couch cushion gas money, the worker bee that ain't getting no honey, missing someone all the while running, gunning for the brighter lights. Here's to the breakups that didn't break us, break down wrong turn that takes you to a little dive bar in Dahlonega. Hear a song from a band that saves you, man, it's a hidden rock bottom. Smoke them if you got them, nothing's going right, making the best of the worst day kind of night.
So I'm cynical and I'm fatigued and it's hard to kind of wake me up sometimes, especially within genres where the gestures are like pretty well practiced. And I thought this song was very well written. I thought the writing was really sharp. There are a few patches that maybe I would have cleaned up, but like bottom line, I thought it was an incredibly well written song. If we're talking a mold, if Brandi Clark could have a breakout moment, certainly Ashley McBride could as well. It feels very akin to that kind of stuff. I don't know if it's something that a lot of people are paying attention to. It's not quite. I feel like I would like to get through my entire life without ever saying the word Americana. It's not an Americana. Like, there are people who make records that are sort of roughly like this that are designed to be in the Americana space, which is to say, conscientious objectors to the mainstream of Nashville.
Whatever. Yeah.
This is not that. This is just a good centrist country song by a woman. Gretchen Wilson could have made this record. I don't know if it's going to get very much traction, but I was really impressed by it. And I think more people should hear it. So that's Ashley McBride, A Little Dive Bar in Dahlonega. Go cop that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just good to see sort of a woman answer to the Chris Stapleton, Jason Isbell, the Sturgill Simpson. Like, I just forgot his name for a second. But, you know, it kind of country that is within the system, like within the Nashville major label system, but is still not glossy pop sheen.
Exactly.
You know, something that has a little bit more grit to it.
And it's not as if the genre has not had room for such things in the past. It certainly has. We happen to just not be in a moment right now where that's at the forefront. But all the more reason, if we spot something that has that, we should do what we can to make sure it gets a little bit of attention. But let's go out with something that's the total opposite of that. So I have a confession to make, which is prior to working on this piece about country gentlemen, I had not realized that Die Happy Man had been covered by Nelly. Now, Nelly, you know, you would say, wow, Nelly's covering Die Happy Man. That's crazy.
But it's
actually
not
that crazy.
Even out of the pocket at all. No. It's so on brand. Yes. Nelly just wants to be a country singer. Let him make his country album.
Real
this
talk.
Is all
I'd
I
love
want.
To, love to hear it. I'd love to hear such a record. Nelly appeared on the Cruise remix.
I am.
Florida
I'm,
Georgia Line.
Yeah,
Cruise remix. He toured with Florida Georgia Line.
Yep.
Unfortunately was unable to go to those shows.
I know. It was at Jones Beach, which is like really hard to go to.
Yes.
But yeah, and, you know, obviously Over and Over. I mean, we can't forget that.
Oh, legendary.
Classic,
legendary.
Classic banger.
Legendary. Who will write the oral history of Over
Me.
And Over? Yes. Someone assign that to Natalie, like immediately.
Also, the fact that Sierra is in the picture on his nightstand
oh,
in the video.
Oh, wow. I forgot that.
It's so amazing.
Oh, okay. There's a lot going on.
There is.
So anyway, so Nelly's a country rap OG, but he also covered Die Happy Man. I happen to think it's not very good, but it seems a fitting conclusion.
It charted. I mean, it literally, like, people played it. They sent it to radio, and I think it got play. Not significant, but some.
Well, now it's getting played on the podcast. This is Die Happy Man by Nelly. Oh!
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw my phone at you.
Oh, baby girl, last night, hands down, one of the best nights, yeah, that I've had, no doubt. Between that bottle of wine and that look in your eyes in the morning, yeah. But then we danced in the dark under September stars in the pouring rain. And I know, and I know that I can't ever tell you enough. All I need. You crazy love.
And that's our podcast this week. Thank you to my guest, Natalie Weiner, for coming and chatting about The Gentleman with me. You can listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast at Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere you get your audio content. You should email us. I don't know if anybody listens to country music, but if you do, I would love to email with you at podcast@nytimes.com.
Seriously. John just wants a pen pal.
Please let me know I'm not alone out here.
You're not alone. I'm sitting right here in the room with you. I see how it is.
Our producer, who is holding things together as we are unraveling, is Pedro Rosado of Headstepper Media, and we will be back next week.